sort of step back there and it fixed it. Just your presence is enough, glory. Well, anyway, we want to respond to our dear sister across the street, and here's some ways you can do that. We would like to help financially if we can. We want to provide some meals. She's going to be out of work for could be up to 6 weeks. So if we if you can respond, pray about what it is you're supposed to do. Of course, we'll go by and visit. We just want to love on her, and hope you God will just kind of lead you in that, and let the body of Christ do what it was made to do. We're here to, I heard someone say this week, we need to love on people till they ask us why. Amen? Just do that. Just love on people till they ask you why. What are you doing this for? And you'll have an opportunity to tell them. So pray about responding. If you're going to give a gift, just mark it in the memo in addition to your regular giving. There is a box in the back. We don't pass an offering plate here, but you can respond, and we thank you. We don't take your giving for granted, and just be faithful. I know God's faithful to the church, and he's going to meet our needs, and I'm just grateful for that. I know he's going to meet your needs too. We don't give to get. We give to give. And God wants to just use you as a dispenser of his grace. Amen? Pray with me, will you? Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to break the bread of life together. And as we continue our series on the winds of life, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and give us something that will be just for us. I know you speak corporately, but in the midst of it, you speak individually. And we want to open our hearts to that. Whatever it is you have to say to us, I know exactly what I'm going to say, but I don't know what folks are going to hear. And we want to tune into you today. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen, 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 amen. Well, I see some folks here that have been here for the first time. Lisa is here, Ralph and Pam's daughter, who I've known you since you were a little bitty girl. And got your children here with you today, and that's wonderful. And Jeff and Julie are here. Some of you know them if you work with Youth for Christ. And they're, a lot of changes going on there. They're here. Their parents are our neighbors. And we have been neighbors twice. Have you ever been neighbors with somebody twice? We were neighbors really early on in our journey to Wichita. And then when we were looking for a home again, they called us up and said, you want to be neighbors again? We said, yeah. 6 weeks later, we were moving in. So we love each other a lot, be neighbors twice. They're the greatest neighbors ever. And I've watched Julie grow up, and seeing their ministry now is just awesome. And we're just tickled that they're here with us today. Well, we're going to continue our series. We've been on our voyage of transition, and we've been doing that for several months now. And we've been discerning the winds. The last couple weeks, we're looking at the winds of time. And so today we're still at sea, and it's a great day. Don't you love the weather today? It's a sunny day. This would be a great day to be cruising, wouldn't it? Awesome. Nothing like a beautiful day on the open sea when it's sunny and everything is wonderful. Our sails have captured the wind, and we're eager for these winds to push us along in our journey to wherever it is God is taking us. I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise, but there's nothing quite like getting up in the morning and walking out on the deck and just seeing the spray, feeling the spray of the water. And have you ever done that? Have you ever sensed that? Some of you are saying, no way, Jose, not me. I'm not getting out there on the open seas. But for those of you who had it, it's a great experience to have and to enjoy God's creation. I know I remember as a pastor, people would always come up to me, you know, I can feel God most when I'm out in the country. You know, and I always go, yeah, it's an excuse to not go to church. I know. But yeah, I realized one day, of course you feel God outside because he's the creator of it all. And we feel his presence. You know, you were made to live in a garden. Did you know that? So it's natural to go out and just sense God's presence in nature and to be able to enjoy all the things. But I know my wife and I have been cruising. And one of the things you do when you get on a ship, the first thing you do is you do a drill, don't you? And what's one of the greatest concerns when you're on the open sea? One of the greatest concerns is, and the thing you don't, no mariner wants to ever hear is that alarm go off and those words, fire, fire, fire. It's a little paradox. You know, here we are out surrounded by water, and fire is our greatest fear on a ship. Fire is an amazing thing on a ship. It will consume everything that is flammable. Is that right? How'd you like being on this cruise? The fire started in a closet, and it spread quickly through the ship. Luckily, they made it back, and there weren't a lot of injuries, but boy, the ship was crippled. You know, fire, the enemy wants to cripple our ship. The ultimate goal of fire on a ship, if it has its way unchecked, will be to sink it. The enemy has come to kill and destroy. He does not want us to finish our voyage. He'll do anything to stop us. And fire is one of his greatest tools. This morning, the time we have, we're going to consider one of the fastest spreading fires you can experience on your voyage. It is the fire of anger and bitterness. I'm just kind of wanting to know, I want to be sure I'm speaking to the right group this morning. Is there anybody here who's ever experienced or had to deal with the spirit of anger or bitterness in your life? Just kind of slip your hand up a little bit. This is an angry church. Well, you know, the reality is if you're breathing, you've had to deal with these two powerful emotions. In fact, the scripture has a lot to say about it. I found over 25 scriptures that deal with the spirit of anger. It's evident God knew we'd be dealing with this issue in our lives. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you walked with God. It doesn't matter if you're the preacher, whoever you are. This spirit of anger and bitterness can sweep across your life. And its intent is, I believe, to cripple us and even to sink our ship and keep us from experiencing the ultimate destination that God has for us. This morning, we're going to be looking at 5 firefighting tips. All right, there's more, but we're going to look at 5 of them. And in your bulletin or your insert, you can have a little fill in the blank. If you want to follow along, you can write it in there as we learn these 5 firefighting tips that you can apply in your life immediately in dealing with this issue of anger and bitterness. The first one's pretty obvious. We need to practice fire prevention, okay? Now, I have a business, and you know, every so often the fire department comes and they do a little inspection, right? Any of you have to experience that? You know, it's kind of annoying, isn't it? Kind of annoying. And they always find something wrong, don't they? You need to fix this, you need to fix that. And I'm going, what? Okay, all right, we'll do it. Why do they do that? Because they love me? No, you love me. I don't think. See, they're trying to prevent something from happening, aren't they? It's prevention. And I think in our own lives, we need to be careful. We should never even let the fire start. That's the best way to deal with the fire of anger and bitterness. Just stop it before it ever starts. I want to have a big sign in my office that says, just stop it. Just stop it. Don't let it nip it in the bud. Is that right? Last week we talked about how important today was in the bucket of the present. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. How do you prevent fires? Daily. You deal with it today. Do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give him an opportunity. How many of you, when you go in a building, if those of you are conscious of this, you go to the movies especially. What should you be doing right away when you sit down in the room? What are you looking for? That's right. Fire exits, right. You need to look for your fire exits. That's a good preventive measure, isn't it? If you ever fly on an airplane, what do? They show you. What are they showing you? Hey, and if you sit by an exit, they're going to quiz you, aren't they? What are they going to, they want to know, hey, can you handle that door? I tell them yes, even if I can't, because there's more room there. Yeah, more leg room. Yeah. My wife says, do you think we can handle this? I said, baby, I don't know. I've never had to do it, but we'll find out. But all these people are dependent on us, see? So we got to get this done. The fire exit. That can be pretty important on an airplane. If you happen to go down, you want to get out in a hurry, right? We need to know where the exits are. Well, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said this, there is no temptation that has overtaken you, even the temptation for anger and bitterness, there's none that's overtaking you, but is common to man. How many of you know everything you're going through, somebody else has already been through it? Your temptation that you're battling, there's other people that have had to wrestle with that too. In fact, that brings me a little hope. How about you? That others have wrestled this thing to the ground. It's common to man. Don't act like, well, where'd this come from? It's common, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Do you believe that? Do you believe God puts a holy restraint on the enemy? Think about it. If he didn't, I mean, as you grow in the Lord, you're able to handle more things. Is that true? You become stronger. You know, if the enemy had free reign, he could take you down just like that. But I believe there's a holy restraint. God says, I'm not going to let you tempt them above what they are able. And God knows where that is. And so when you say, oh, that temptation was just too great for me, I just couldn't do it, man. You don't understand, Pastor. It's just too much. No, no. God says he will not allow. So when temptation comes your way, know that, hey, listen, God must think I'm able to deal with this. But look, but with the temptation, with every temptation, what's he going to do? He's going to make a way to escape. He said, look for the fires. When that spirit of anger and bitterness comes upon me, listen, I need to start looking for the exit. How do I get out of this? God wants us to nip it in the bud before it ever starts. Some of the fires we deal with in people's lives have been burning a long time. And if you go back in time, you can see, man, you could have fixed that back here pretty easy. But you let it go. And that little fire turned into a big fire. You know, it smoldered for a while, but then one day it just exploded in flames. Listen, God wants you to first and foremost, don't let the fire start. But if it does start, here's some firefighting tips. Here's a second firefighting tip. Don't fight the fire alone. Have you ever rolled up on a house fire and the fire department's there and there's one guy? Yeah, he's driving the truck. He's rolling out the hoses. That's right. He's going in searching the house. He's getting the water pressure just right. He's doing it all. You ever seen that? No. You know why? It's impossible. You can't fight a fire by yourself. It takes a team effort. Is that right? And God has put the body of Christ together in a way, just like we said, what happens to one of us happens to all of us. Listen to this in Ephesians 4:16. For whom the whole body joined and knit together, which every joint supplies according to the effective working by what? Which every part does its share. This causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We're not in this. We're not in this to be alone. God has called us together. What we can do together, we can never do by ourselves. And the reason some people get burned so bad by these fires is they keep it secret. And they try to fight it by themselves. It's hard, isn't it, to ask for help, to call 911. You know, did you know God has a 911? Yeah, read it. Psalms 91:1. It's God's 911. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Read it. It's God's 911. Whenever you need it, just dial it. Just call it up. And he'll answer the phone every time. Isn't that great? You don't get a busy signal. You don't want that. When you're calling 911, you don't want to go, hey, the lines are extremely busy. Your wait time will probably be 20 minutes. You don't want that, do you, when you need help? And listen, I want to just encourage you. Humble yourself and ask for help. I know it's hard sometimes. I don't want to admit I'm having problems. I don't want to admit I'm dealing. I mean, you know, I'm the preacher. Preachers aren't supposed to have. Listen, I get angry. I get upset from time, and I need help. I got people I can call. I have people. I've got a call list. Hey, I'm having an issue. Would you please pray for me? Because God never meant for me to fight that fire alone, and the devil likes nothing better for you to think you can do it. You think you can do it, and you can't. Here's firefighting tip number three. Put on your firefighting clothes. Have you ever been to a fire and saw a fireman in a three-piece suit? Or in his shorts and stuff? No, no, this is what you see right here. This is what you see. This is the guy you want to see. If you're in a house fire, this is the guy you want to see. Hey, listen, this is Captain Tim. Give him a hand. Doesn't he look sharp today? Captain Tim, tell us how important that firefighting suit is when you're fighting a fire.
It's really pretty critical. This firefighting suit protects us from the heat, the smoke. We have air that we breathe. Today's fires burn so much hotter than the fires 10 or 20 years ago. All these couches that we have and beds that are made of that super soft foam, that's all petroleum products, and they burn very, very, very well. So even with all this, we don't actually go into a house and stand up. We're on our hands and knees crawling through your house trying to find someone. We actually have a camera that we use to locate people. So it's very critical that we wear all of this. If we are unprotected, we'll end up being burned. Even with all this, we can be burned. So if you have a fire, one of the most critical things you can do is get out of the house. Because even with this, we're in danger. Without this, you're in extreme danger. So quick evacuation is very important.
Tim, answer us a question this morning. Would it be okay if you just took some of your gear into the fire and not all of it?
No. One of the things that I'm responsible to do before we go in is kind of look at everybody and make sure they've got gloves on. They've got their hat on to protect them from something hitting them on the head. They've got their coat buttoned up so there's no openings.
Did you catch that? They look out for each other, don't they? Hey, I'm going to check and make sure you got all your stuff. Can we do that in the church with each other? Hey, before you go out in that fire, hey, did you know you're missing your boots? It's just your boots. You got everything else, right? What's the matter? A pair of boots, you know? How your gloves? No. In fact, Tim, what I'm hearing you say is there can't be any flesh in the fire.
You are correct. We plan for it. If a guy forgets something, the guy driving the truck that's pumping the fire has one of everything. He has a hat. He has gloves. Go get his.
Wow. Listen to this, Captain Tim. Ephesians 4:21-24. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him, accordance with the truth that's in Jesus, is that you? You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted and deceitful, and you put on the new self. See, you got to put off the old, put on the new. Look at this, Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Yeah, don't leave home without it, right? You need to have a picture of the armor of God hanging by your door and just check it off before you got. Let's see, do I got everything I need today? Because you could be walking into a fire. And if you're not dressed properly, see, we can't fight the fire alone. But I'll tell you what, if I'm going to have people come help me, I want them to look like that. Okay? Now, that'd be a scary thing coming out of the smoke, wouldn't it? But it'd be a wonderful sight to see a guy like that come in. How tall are you anyway, Tim? Glory to God. Whoa, man. I think he can do it. Hey, but he's got the proper gear, right? You can't put on part of it. You got to put all of it. So that why? So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. The flesh and blood will be consumed in the fire. It's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because of that, put on the whole armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground after you've done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You notice he didn't say the arrows wouldn't come. He just said we'll extinguish the fire that they're lit with. Amen? Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Listen, if we're going to fight this fire, you better wear your firefighting clothes. Don't try to fight it without being properly equipped. This battle, you know, we know this. We all know this. It's not a battle of flesh and blood. But what do? That's where we fight it all the time. God says, that's not it. Don't do that. Don't. It's not a battle of flesh and blood. Cover up the flesh. Remember, no flesh in the fire. Flesh in the fire is going to be consumed. Let's give Captain Tim a hand, huh, for being with us today. Amen. Captain Tim worked all night on his shift and came to church today to be with us. Isn't that great? He told me last night, pray don't get any calls. I said, well, if you do, you're going to smell like smoke and that'll be perfect. But he didn't. Didn't have any calls, and we appreciate him. Thank you. And we appreciate our firemen, don't we, and the work they do and how they take care of us. Did you know 100 firemen every year die? Every year, 100 firemen give their lives fighting fires for us. Fighting fires can be a dangerous profession. You often say, don't play with fire. Yeah, I want to say that to you. Don't play with fire. You'll get burned every time. You know, you get burned every time. You ready for number four? This is important. Number four, follow the firefighting manual. Follow the firefighting manual. In John 8, verses 31 through 32, Jesus was talking to the new Jewish believers. He said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In Psalms 119, verse 11, we find these familiar words. "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." If we're going to fight this fire, we need to use the firefighting manual. God's word has been given to us, and everything we need is there. We just need to obey it. Amen. How many of you need another sermon? I don't. I just need to obey what I've already heard. How about you? If I could just obey what I've already heard, if I could put it to practice, I'd be light years ahead of where I am right now. I had the opportunity to meet with my nephew in St. Louis several years ago. He's a firefighter. In fact, now he's the fire chief in Arizona. And we were talking. We were having dinner together one night. And he was the investigator, especially whenever a fireman loses his life. And in St. Louis County just lost a fireman. And we were talking about it. I said, "Man, that's terrible." But he said something to me, and I mentioned it to Captain Tim the other day, and he gave me a DVD. He said, "Here's a DVD. It talks all about it." My nephew said, "Yeah." He said, "There's very few accidents." He said, "But what usually happens is we have a normalization, a deviation that brings a predictable surprise." When he first said it, I went, "Say that again." Normalization. A deviation that brings a predictable surprise. What he was saying is, so oftentimes there is a way to do things, and we normalize it, or we take a shortcut around what we know is the proper way to do things, right? And we do it, and what happens is, hey, nothing bad really happened. Kind of like wearing your seatbelts. Hello. I used to struggle with that. My wife would always sing a song to me. "Do it for the loved ones in your life." That guilt trip works every time. You know, plug that baby in. Well, now it's pretty automatic. I do it all the time. And some of you say, "I don't wear a seatbelt. I've been driving 20 years. I've never had an issue." Really. You deviate from what is correct, and then you normalize it. Because over time, nothing happens. So you keep doing it, and what happens? You have a surprise, but it's predictable. It's predictable. In the DVD that Captain Tim gave me, those words actually were coined by Mike Mullane, who was an astronaut. And he was actually talking to firemen. He said one of the greatest issues for firemen, and I think it's true for the church, is when we get under pressure, we start taking shortcuts. Is that true? The pressure's on. He talked about firemen who... I even wrote some notes here, what he said. He said, "We as firemen, we rationalize that the standards are too high and we can't meet them." Hello? I can't do that. Jesus said, "Be holy as I am holy." He's talking to somebody else. That's the standard's too high. In the space program, the goal was 23 launches a year. That was the goal. Does that put pressure on people? Man, we got to make these birds fly. So they launched the birds. Even when engineers said, "You know those O-rings things around the external fuel tanks? Fire can never touch them. If they do, they will fail." And we're concerned about it. But they launched shuttle after shuttle after shuttle. No negative consequences. In 1984, we know that the Challenger lifted off, but what people don't know is 2 years before that, engineers sent memo after memo after memo asking for this to be looked at. In fact, just a few days before the launch, the memo said, "Don't do it. Don't launch." It says, if you do and those O-rings fail, it will mean certain death. Whoa, that was no accident. Those who wanted to scrub the flight, they were told, "Hey, listen, we don't scrub a flight just on feelings. We need some data." I thought as I heard those words, I thought, you know, have you? How many of you know you all have a peace meter? You got one of those? A little peace meter inside of you? God gave it to you. Have you ever felt it? Have you ever thought, you know, I don't feel peace about that? My wife's peace meter is a lot better than mine. I listen to her peace meter. I'll say, what do you think about that? I don't know. I've learned not to ask her why, because she'll say, I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable about that. Listen, you need to be careful. That may be God speaking to us, right? Saying, hey, look, you may not have all the facts. You may not know. These guys knew something. It was ignored. And people lost their lives. And the Challenger, of course, we know what happened. It was a horrible, horrible day, wasn't it? But really, what it really was normalization of deviation. And it brought a predictable surprise. Happens all the time. I see it in people's lives. I've seen marriages bust up because of normalization of deviation. They know what the Word of God says. We read it today. You know, forgive other people just as Christ has forgiven you. Yeah, but. See, I have a definition for hard-heartedness. It's this. You might write it down. Overexposure and under-response to truth. We hear the truth all the time. You hear it all the time. And every time you go, yeah, but. I know that's what the Word of God says. I know that's what the manual says. But. And when you go, but, you're deviating. You're deviating from what the Word of God says. Are we going to live our lives according to God's Word or not? Every time you deviate and go, well, you know, and you do it, and you know nothing bad really happens. Yeah. And so you loop back to it, and you keep looping back to it, and one day, there is a surprise, and everybody goes, how'd that happen? It was predictable. I have a friend who's a fighter pilot, and our astronaut friend, he's a fighter pilot too. I even called my friend Jeff to tell him about this DVD. I wanted him to listen to it because he's got another section in there about flying that's great. But Jeff was in training one day as a fighter pilot, and the colonel called on him one day and said, Lieutenant Watson. He said, sir, yes, sir. He said, what do you do if you all of a sudden find yourself in a thunderstorm? He said, sir, you turn 180 degrees, you fly the opposite direction. He was standing waiting for the applause, and the colonel goes, wrong answer. He goes, well, sir, what is the right answer? He said, Lieutenant Watson, you don't all of a sudden find yourself in a thunderstorm. But we act like that's what happened, don't we? I never saw it come. It just came out of nowhere. Really. Last firefighting tip. We got to smother the fire. Captain Tim told me, if you take away the oxygen and you take away the fuel, you don't have a fire anymore. That's what we got to do. We got to smother the fire. No oxygen, no fuel, right? Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How many of you have ever grieved the Holy Spirit? That sounds like a serious thing. I think God's more sad than mad at us. It's things like this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, let it be put away from you. With all malice, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What do you think about that? Say, yeah, but, yeah. Well, you're going to either do it or you're not. If you deviate from this, you're going to have a predictable surprise. I want to close with a story today. And those of you who lived in the Vietnam age, you will know this story. And you will recognize these pictures. It was actually June 8th, 1972. South Vietnamese planes dropped napalm bombs on a village that had been occupied by the North Vietnamese. The pilot who was flying overhead saw some people running and thought they were enemy combatants. And he dropped 4 barrels of napalm on this little village. And there was a photographer there that happened to take this picture. These little children running through the streets and the little girl there whose clothes had burned off of her and half of her body was burned by napalm. Her name was Kim Phu. Kim Kim, in this picture, was actually running towards a South Vietnamese soldier yelling, Nang Qua, too hot, too hot. Soldiers gave her water to drink, and then they did what you're never supposed to do to somebody who's being burned by napalm. They poured water all over her. It was the worst thing you could do. It makes the napalm burn from the inside out of your flesh. In fact, one doctor I was reading, a doctor from Los Angeles who treated Kim, said when he first saw her, her chin was welded to her chest from scar tissue. After the soldier poured water on her, she collapsed. The photographer who snapped the picture took her to the hospital, and they put her in what's called the death ward because they said there's no way this little girl's ever going to live. But 14 months later, after 17 surgical procedures, she walked out of the hospital. Kim became a propaganda tool for the communist regime. They flashed this picture everywhere. She was known as the Napalm Girl. She hated it. She hated it that her body was deformed and burned. She said she was angry and bitter and upset. How could this happen to me? Two of her cousins were instantly killed that day, along with some other members of the village. But on Christmas 1982, and I think Dr. Dave shared a letter with you from a Vietnamese missionary a few weeks ago about how they use Christmas in Vietnam as a tool to witness to people. Kim's an example of that. In 1982, Kim converted from her family's religion and accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Kim decided she wanted to be a doctor because of what all the doctors had done for her. She said, I want to help people like they helped me. And in 1986, she was granted permission to enter medical school in Cuba. Communist-controlled. So they sent her to Cuba. And in Cuba, she met her husband-to-be. And they got married in 1992. And guess what they did for their honeymoon? They applied for permission to go to Moscow. So they flew to Moscow for their honeymoon. Isn't that cool? How romantic. On the way back, the plane stopped for refueling in Newfoundland. And her husband talked together, and they said, let's get off this plane. And they did and asked for asylum. And they received it, and today they live in Canada. Here's a photo of Kim with her firstborn son in 1996. It was the year she also passed her Canadian citizenship test with a perfect score. And she became a Canadian citizen. Here's a picture of Kim and her husband worshiping in a church in Canada. She wrote a book called The Long Road to Forgiveness. This is what she said. The anger inside of me was so like hatred, as high as a mountain. My hatred and bitterness was consuming me. I really wanted to die many times. The fire never went out. It just kept on burning and burning and burning. I spent my daytime, however, in a library to read a lot of religious books to find a purpose for my life and my situation. One of the books I read was a Bible. During a Christmas celebration in 1982, I accepted Christ. It was an amazing turning point in my life. God helped me to learn to forgive the most difficult of all lessons. It didn't happen in a day, and it wasn't easy, but I finally got it. Forgiveness made me free from hatred and anger. I still have scars on my body and severe pain most days, but my heart is cleansed. But I've learned that napalm is a very powerful, but faith, forgiveness, and love are more powerful than napalm. Kim, in 1997, gave a speech at the U.S. Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. She said these words, "One cannot change the past, but everyone can work together for a peaceful future." She said she had forgiven all those who had contributed to her situation from the pilot on down the chain of command. In the audience that day was a Vietnam vet named John Plumer. He's a Methodist pastor. He was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. Plumer was miles from the village the day this awful event took place. He was stationed at an Air Force base. And according to his own records, he assisted in preparing bombing plans. A captain at the time, he relayed coordinates and other data from a field advisor to another American officer who passed the information on to South Vietnamese officers who radioed the flight line to send the bombers into the sky. He did not know if any of his information was used on that specific day, but his heart went out to Kim, and they met together that day. This is a picture of Kim and John together. And he said they prayed together and shared together. He said it was the most wonderful experience of his day. You say, man, that's kind of a way out story. Well, I want you to know that that story takes place every day. People's lives are on fire. And relationships are being burned up right before our eyes. I often say this to our staff. I don't know if they understand how deep I feel about it. But relationships are everything. They're everything. They're everything. And that scripture, grieving the Holy Spirit, what was in there? Bible reading? Prayer? Church attendance? No. It's all about relationships. You want to grieve the Holy Spirit? You burn up relationships. Relationships are a gift. It's a gift. We need to cherish them at all costs. Sometimes we treat people like typewriters. We just throw one away and get another one. We kick people to the side of the road. Listen, God values these relationships. And I believe that this fire has to be put out or our ship will be crippled and it could even sink. Remember several months ago we talked about mercy. We talked about what forgiveness is not. Do you remember? Always remember this. These are things that forgiveness is not. It's not easy. It's not forgetting. It's a change of heart, not a change of memory. You think Kim will ever forget the napalm? You think she'll ever forget the smell, the screams? No. You don't ever forget that. But her heart has changed. It's not avoidance or denial. It's not destructive. We don't let hurt and damage continue. And lastly, most important, it's not approval. We can forgive people for things. We don't approve of what happened. But we release it. Why? Because we're wanting to put out the fire. Because we know what fire will do. It will consume everything that's flammable in its path. And I've seen it. I've seen it destroy ministries. I've seen it destroy churches. I've seen it destroy marriages. I've seen it destroy perfectly good relationships. And if you're serious about this, you want to declare war on this fire. And maybe you got a fire and your life's been burning a long time. The longer it burns, the worse it is. I say get on it right away. You got a little fire going? Hey, call some people. Put the fire out. Get some people who've got the firefighting gear, who know how to read the firefighting book, who will smother the fire. Take away the fuel. Some of us keep feeding the fire. We keep feeding the fire with our words and things we say. Stop it. Stop it. We want to put this fire out. We don't want to encourage it. And so I close with this prayer. It's a prayer that God will always answer. I can't say this about everything, but I can guarantee you this. If you pray this prayer, God will answer it. If we pray according to the will of God, He hears us. If He hears us, we have our petitions. A simple little prayer, most good prayers are, is just simple. Lord, give me a spirit of forgiveness. I want to just walk in it. I want it to become natural for me to be able to forgive. I'll never forget a gentleman one time in my ministry that I went up to. I know I had offended him deeply. And if I haven't offended you yet, just wait around a while. It'll happen. Because when people get together, what happens? We rub up against each other, right? That's why we need this. And I remember saying to him, Brother Dave, I'm so sorry. And I'll never forget what he said to me. Pastor, I forgave you when you did it. I already forgave you. I forgave you. I made a commitment that day. I want to be like that man. I want to be able to forgive people that quick. I want to be so easy. Because see, what the astronaut was saying was, you need to get in. You need to learn what God wants us to do. Practice it every day until it becomes automatic for you, where you don't even have to think about it. It's just part of your life. Amen? How many need to hear this today? Yeah, I want you to stand with me right now. We're going to pray together. I know it's time to go. We went over a little bit today, but I believe this is important. I'm going to pray with you, and I ask our keyboard person to come, if you would, please. And we're just going to take a moment. I know some of you got things, you got to go, you got things to do, and I understand that. But this could be an important moment for you. I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you've been fighting a fire by yourself, I'd like you to list some people to help you. And it might start by you just letting us pray with you today. That could be the beginning of it. Because what's happening to you is happening to me. You can just play whatever you want, dear. Just let the Lord lead you. But say, what's with the music? Oh, you don't understand. See, God created you to respond to note, to song, to melody. It's from heaven. Even David knew it when he played the harp. Do you ever sit and turn on some worship music at home? Just, I can't explain it. It just opens our heart to things. I want you to open your heart right now. Not just to the words. We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, somebody brought you, you say, you know, I don't know. I don't know Christ. I've never given my heart to Him, but I'd like to. I want to give you an invitation today. Just step forward. We want to pray with you today. This could be the most important day of your life, because the most important fire you need to put out right now is that fire of sin in you that's separating you from God. God wants to put that out. Or maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, those relationship things are important, and I've got fires burning all around me, Joe. I don't have one fire. I got 10 fires. I'm overwhelmed by it. Okay. That just means we need more people helping. That's all. There's no fire that's impossible to put out. But we got to start somewhere. Don't just walk away from it. I'm an insurance agent, and I see house fires all the time. I had one just the other day. What's the number one place to have a fire in your home? Kitchen, ladies. Kitchen. What happens? We're cooking on the stove. What are you nudging there? We walk away. Walk away on the phone, right? And look back, and what's happened? In this particular house fire, she tried to put it out, but it got away from her. She was overwhelmed. And I thought, boy, if he'd have just started sooner. I had a fire in Valley Center. A guy tried to fight the fire himself. Ended up in the hospital. I said, why didn't you just call 911? Well, I thought I could handle it. Nah. See, that's what we do, isn't it? I can handle it. I'm bulletproof, man. I've done this before. No. Now, humble yourself. Let God's grace come. Let other people come. I want to pray with you today. I just want to agree with you. I don't know what God's going to do, but we'll stand together. You're not alone, okay? You're here today, and you want God to do something really. Maybe you got a physical need in your life. Hey, that can be a fire. We'll anoint you with oil. Why? Because that's what the manual says. I'm not going to deviate from it. We're going to do it. We'll pray the prayer of faith. All right? Praise God. I'm going to pray with you, and when I'm through praying, you're free to go. And we'll stay here as long as necessary. As you can see, I don't need lunch. I got reserves. So time is not an issue. What happens to you happens to me. What happens to me happens to you. We're here to serve one another. Amen. Father, I pray over this precious congregation. We love them so much. And Lord, as our paths keep intersecting and the more we experience each other's lives together, it's pretty cool what you're doing. And we celebrate that today. And we ask you to help us. Help us to follow these firefighting tips. I pray, Lord, that you'd put this fire out in our lives so that we can enjoy this voyage that we're on and get safely to the other side in this time of transition. Help us recognize what the enemy, when he's trying to manifest himself, we don't want to give him any opportunity. Lord, help us to respond. We're not going to deviate. And if we have, forgive us if we've normalized it. Lord, we want to commit ourselves to the firefighting man. You'll help us do that, Father. We pray for your blessing. We celebrate the church and the relationships we have here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. We love you. We'll see you next week. We'll be here to pray. Take your liberty. God bless you.